controversy. Keeping me in the key of me, doing it in the key of excellence for you and me. This is the beginning.
Gotta go smoke a cigarette.
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, this is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Solid. Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and tears here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Right on.
Yeah, my mama and them somehow disappeared from the scene and left my old team. Had to find a new approach to an old dream, and it's not to take a shot at my old team. I just want you to see, this is me, so please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can, 'cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do, 'cause there's no me without you, and all I wanna be is true. Alright, and all I wanna be is true. Apologies if I ever let you down, but so much didn't happen that it's hard to talk about. So many losses that my lawyer said don't talk about it. Just had to pray and keep it cool till I can walk about it. Came home, held my sister as a child. Kinda hurt me 'cause I could've had my own now. I lost my baby, damn, it's really getting home now. I just had to learn.
This is me.
So please accept me for who I am. And please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can. 'Cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do. This fame I've been given, my pride don't cause me to hide my true feelings, 'cause I can only be real, hey, 'cause I can only be real. Oh, 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 oh. And now this is me, so please accept me for who I am, yeah, please accept me for what I do. I'm just doing everything that I can, 'cause all I wanna be is true. So please accept me for who I am, and please accept me for what I do, 'cause there's no me without you, and all I wanna be is true. Alright, alright.
and all I wanna be is true. And all I wanna be is true. And all I wanna be is true. It's not that I don't want you here. Yeah. It's something about the way you stare into my eyes. I know that I don't make things clear. I fall for you every time I try to resist you. We can get away. Palm trees, beach views, ordinary day. All I wanna hear is in the pictures on replay.
Controversy. Sorry for the technical difficulty. It happens from time to time. We're attributing to the storm that's coming our way. I also want to, before we get into the topics of what's going on today, to make sure that everybody becomes safe, because according to what we're seeing in the news media, that this storm is going to really be hitting the East Coast as well. It's already hit the East Coast, but as well as hitting Indianapolis pretty bad. So, be careful. Make sure that you have food in the house, number one. Number two, make sure that your heat is working, and make sure you keep your water running so that your pipes don't freeze. And then back to controversy. This is going to be a kind of a strange thing today, because one of the things that I want to say before we get into our topics is this. I have failed to understand why we have Black History Month and we don't practice our Black history year round. It's relatively interesting that we have not developed yet the concept in our brains that if America wants to celebrate America year round, we should be about the business of celebrating ourselves year round. So with that being said, some of the topics we're going to talk about today are going to center on Black history. I want to say a thank you to Tyrone Steele for Monday's show, because it was a pretty interesting show. Into some great topics. I tried to get a hold of him this morning to see if he could come in with us today, but wasn't able to do that. Not because of him, because of me, because I got up a little late. But with that being said, the first thing I want to discuss with you is what's going on in the NFL. Flores, right? Yeah, Flores brought forth, a lawsuit against the NFL as well. The owners, because of the discrimination surrounding coaches. We're going to play a clip of that right now, and then we're going to get into a discussion about it. Welcome to Controversy once again, Stephen B. We got to charge it up, so that's on me again. It's one of those mornings, so please, I apologize. But once again, I want to say welcome to Controversy. Stephen B., your host, doing in the key of E, meaning excellence for you and me. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to tell you straight out, for all you doubters out there, and I'm about the real, and that's what we're going to talk about today, about the real. We're going to cover several things. We've got to start with this because it really was pretty interesting of how it came about in the first place. Florida coach of Miami, or former coach of Miami, you know, being vetted for another coaching job in the NFL. And what happened was, once again, that name Bill Belichick. I don't know what it is with New England, man, but it seems like that they're constantly years surrounded by controversy. And this is probably one of the hardest hitting controversies. So check this out.
I got to wait for the commercial. They're not paying for the commercial.
1 second, Steve. It's coming. It's coming.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go.
Here we
are. New York Giants put together a, quote, sham interview for their head coaching job. He also accuses Dolphins owner Stephen Ross of tampering. We got some breaking news into us tonight. Former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores accusing the NFL and its teams of racism in a new class action lawsuit. Flores, who's black, says the New York Giants put together a, quote, sham interview for their head coaching job. He also accuses Dolphins owner Stephen Ross of tampering and accuses Denver Broncos general manager John Elway of misconduct in a 2019 interview. NBC News, we should note, has not gotten any statements from these teams or the NFL about this lawsuit, at least not yet. I want to bring in NBC News legal analyst Danny Savalos. And Danny, let me read from this class action complaint where Flores' lawyer says he wanted to, quote, shine a light on the racial injustices that take place inside the NFL and to effectuate real change for the future. The context is really important here because this is a league, Danny, that's about 70% black. And right now there's only one black head coach in the NFL after Flores is firing. There's no black owners. What stands out to you from the accusations that Flores is making here?
Oh, this complaint shines a light, all right, and not just on Flores' situation, but the history of alleged discrimination in the NFL. And everyone gets hit by the shrapnel, it seems. Bill Belichick has some cringeworthy moments or appearances in his text messages. So too are the allegations against John Elway. Not flattering at all. Nobody is safe in this complaint. It takes no prisoners and sets out lengthy allegations of history of discrimination in the NFL.
You mentioned Bill Belichick. The only reason Flores says he knows about that he got passed over for this job is because Bill Belichick apparently texted him 3 days.
You know, once again, the NFL is involved in controversy surrounding racism, for lack of better words. You know, one of the things that's interesting about this particular lawsuit is it's a long time coming. It should have been brought up a long time ago because when you look at the makeup of the NFL, like they did say, 70% of the players are men of color, yet you only have one head coach. And you know, once again, all I can say is a couple of days ago I said on air that the whole mentality of the NFL is nothing more than a slave mentality. I mean, you know, from the beginning of a player's career in the NFL, he's vetted just like they deal with the slaves. They check their teeth and check their running ability and their physical stamina. And you know, now once again, you know, they're faced with an element that is hard to explain. You know, the Kaepernick issue, Michael Vick issue, the tampering, you know, during the Super Bowl by Tom Brady, which, you know, I don't want to say anything really, really bad about Tom Brady. I mean, it is seems like it's become the culture of the New England Patriots. But one of the things that's disturbing about this to me is this, is once again, we're dealing with something that seems like that, you know, when you speak about it, then you're crucified for it. There's no doubt in my mind that Flores will probably not get another NFL job. But what's even more important about what he did was he stood up. And for the players not to stand with him, behind him, and support him is really a bigger travesty because, number one, it's in the benefit, it's been their benefit that they stick together and do what they need to do to correct the situation. What do you think about this? I mean, this whole thing about what's going on with the NFL?
Well, like I always say, when you're playing in somebody else's sandbox, you got to go by their rules.
Yeah.
I hate to say it like that, but the whole thing is like this. every 3 to 5 years, we cry the blues about black coaches in the NFL. And the thing about it is, we already know that the coaches are not going to get a fair shake because they're forcing them to hire black coaches with the whole the Rooney rule or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole thing is, so what? How many teams is in the NFL?
32.
So they say, okay, as long as we can continue with the 1% of black coaches, we're going by the Rooney rule or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But until the players and people from our culture start boycotting the NFL, I'll look at it as another cry fest. I'm sorry. Until we stop going to the games, until our players, like, you know, we're not going to the NFL. We're going to the CFL or we're going to another league. I think it's not going to make a difference.
Well, but the problem with that is that they've already tried that several times to start other leagues to compete with the NFL. If you remember, Donald Trump started a league some years ago. And in fact, got the number one draft pick or the that year. I want to say, what's his name?
The Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker. And Herschel's going to cross the figure. The thing about me is this. You're right. This comes up. It's okay. Just a moment. Are we back? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Once again, technical difficulties that's going to happen. So I want to put that aside and go back to, you know, dealing where we normally deal, local, national, and sports. Let me share something with you. Here in Indianapolis, Indiana, last summer, as a matter of fact, there was an incident at a high school where a young man got into basically an argument, disagreement with a police officer. And the police officer struck this young man. His mother was there. This happened, by the way. Struck this young man and berated him in front of the whole school. And this is quite public because it happened outside the school. And what happened was is the police officer was charged with misconduct, perjury, and the fact that he struck this young black male. But what happened was is he was convicted of all the charges, and rather than fire him, the decision was made to put him in probation for him before he still kept the job, and a lot of them don't know if they're going to come home at night to their families. And what's even more important that you know is the fact that we have 1,500 here. And, you know, for the most part, these men and women go out and do an excellent job, with the, you know, considering the controversy and adversity that they're against. But here's what's disturbing to me about this incident. What's disturbing about it is the fact that the man should have been fired. Let's call it what it is. And they gave him probation and allow him to keep his job. That's a travesty. And you know what? I really do encourage that the police officers out there who are doing the right thing speak up as well. Yes, I know it's against the grain because, you know, this whole blue line situation is very important to them. And I understand it because they have to depend on their fellow officers at times to protect them as well. However, there's nobody protecting this young man. We need to do better about that. And we're going to play a clip in reference to that now because I want you to understand how bad this is. You ready?
Video from the Metro Police officer punching a student.
This all happens as we wait to hear from the family of two teenage young men tomorrow morning. RTV6's Rafael Sanchez joins us with what the video shows and how this still leaves many unanswered questions.
I'm Ethan Mark. Good evening. So this is a federal lawsuit, 6 pages now challenging that officer's story. And now also some new video, and that new video as well as a longer video, meaning that you can see more of what was happening before and after a school fight was brought to an end inside of Shortridge High School. These are the 6 seconds that are at the center of multiple investigations being led by IPS and Metro Police. Officer Robert Lawson made physical contact with a 17-year-old student last Thursday outside of Shortridge High School, shortly after the officer warned to arrest his adult relative. a federal lawsuit just filed, points out that the young man kept his arms at his sides and made no aggressive moves towards the officer. Last week, RTV6 obtained documents in which the officer indicated he feared being hit because he noted the teen's face was clenched in anger. No video has yet to surface showing the student's face during the exchange with the officer, or what, if anything, he was telling the officer at the time of the incident. In documents RTV6 obtained, the officer indicates the 17-year-old balled both hands into a fist, moved his shoulder back, and bladed his body. The federal lawsuit challenges the officer's story and details the officer punching the teen's left jaw, restraining him in a headlock, and hitting his abdomen with a knee strike. So what triggered all of this and this exchange between the officer and the student? Something happened earlier with the teen's adult relative. She came to Shortridge High to pick up the teens following a big fight inside that school. We expect to hear tomorrow morning from Danielle Pointer. That federal lawsuit.
See, you know, I just don't get it. I really don't. And what's more important that I don't think that people really understand is the psychological problems that this is causing for this kid. Number one, you know, no kid wants to be confronted like that in their high school because they're going to get ridiculed because a police officer slapping him upside his head for no justified reason. Now, besides that, you know, once again, we are creating a culture of hate based on bad behavior. Okay, and that's got, you know, we got to do better at that. Okay, we've got to stop blaming the victims for crimes and things such as that when really they're not the problem. The problem is the person who started in the first place, regardless of what we want to say about what the kid did or didn't do. This is a 17-year-old man, young man, at high school being slapped by a police officer. Come on. You know, anybody can justify that. Please call in and let me know. The call number is 515-605-9800. And this argument about we don't know what was said before and what he said while he was talking to the police officer, the fact remains videos don't lie, okay? The police officer said this young man balled up his fist. You see no indication of such. The people were saying that he said very foul things to this officer. There's no indication of that. So let's stop trying to justify bad behavior by putting out lies, because that's exactly what it is. So I want you to think about that, and let's talk about that sometime, because really that's very disturbing, especially to me, because I support the Indianapolis Police Department and always have, even since I was a boy. But respect goes both ways. And if our police officers are going to continue to disrespect young black men and women, then I guarantee you that this whole thing about the controversy involving the police officers in our community, as well as the interaction between adults and children, we're going to continue to have a problem. With that being said, that's in reference to local news in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now I'm going to get into an interesting conversation with Bernstein, because a couple of things happened this morning that some of I was aware of, some of I wasn't. If you can look up the gentleman's name, who you have to help me with it. But 50 years ago, over 50 years ago, Malcolm X was assassinated in New York.
Hold on. Can I ask a question before we go to the next topic?
Sure.
So in the news, two more police officers got killed yesterday.
Yes.
And so in the first month of January of 2022, I think it's been a total of maybe 10 officers killed.
Yes.
So I know what that officer did was totally wrong against that child or whatever. And that's what they always play that defense of, I was afraid of my life or whatever, so that's why he struck him first. Do you think that that can continue as police officers, I guess their testimony always in fear for their life?
No, that doesn't hold water, because I'm going to tell you something. Each and every time that you and I walk out the door, I'm in fear for my life. And I hate to say that, but our culture warrant that. I mean, you know, already in Indianapolis, our city, we've had 18 murders since the beginning of the year. We're talking about less than 30 days. Okay, that's ridiculous. Okay, last year at this time was 24, so it has dropped a couple, but still, at that, there's still an exorbitant number of people being killed in our community. So, you know, and in fact, I'm gonna be honest with you. The whole time I was in the service, I was not as frightened walking the streets as I am frightened today. Because this whole culture, this whole society has gotten completely out of control. I mean, I don't know if they think that this is a gigantic video game that these people are just going to pop back up alive and we're going to start all over again, because it's not. And the other thing is, look at the effects that one death causes in a community, because it's not only affecting just that one family. But when you look at the extended families, especially those of us of community of color, then you're talking about affecting, each death affecting a lot of lives. And that's not only affecting them directly, but then you're talking about their friends and their classmates. That is unbelievable how many people that one death affects. So
I remember a few years ago, we did a show on that, said the average person that gets killed like that affects 200 people or more. 100 from the victim and 100 from the person who did the killing if they get caught.
Yeah.
So like 200 people. Like, so we're talking about thousands and thousands of people on a yearly basis that's affected by these killings.
We got to stop it. We really do. I don't have an answer. Because, you know, one of the, you know, it's always, well, let's have mediation. Let's get peacekeepers out on the streets to talk to these people, you know, to get them to understand that conflict resolution is very important. But the problem that we have is, and nobody wants to admit it, but should, is the media has began to glorify thugism. That's exactly what it is. I mean, I don't care whether it's music, whether it's the movies that are being put out. It has really, 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 you know, become a culture of thugism here. One of the things I learned from walking the times I did with Reverend Harrison of the 10-Point Coalition in the streets of Indianapolis is, it is interesting that when we walk up to people, we talk to them, you know, hey, brother, we like what you're doing, this, that, and the other. And then before we can turn the corner, they're back doing the same things they were doing before we talked to them. So I'm not sure how we're going to get a handle on that problem. I just know we better get a handle on it and get a handle on it quick, because right now it's just affecting too many people, way too many people. And, you know, until we do something about that, Bernstein, our society is going to continue to devolve, and it's exactly, we're not evolving, we're devolving. When you look at the numbers of people dying and what's going on in our community. So, you know, hopefully, you know, during this Black History Month, I got to keep saying like that, month. Yeah. We can that just drives me nuts. We can develop a conversation on how to handle that. Now, with that being also said, listening to George Middleton when he came here, two shows ago, was talking about mental health. Believe this or not, mental health and how it relates to society has a lot to do with it, because, you know, one of the things that I'm learning now is that we are beginning to develop a narcissistic society, okay? We really are, and maybe we should start approaching it from that point. Of mental health.
Well, social media is helping pushing this agenda of being narcissistic, because you can go on social media all day long and just people just look at me, look at what I'm eating, look at what I'm dressed in. It's like social media was created for narcissistic people, I believe.
You know, that's as bad as it just drives me crazy to read on Facebook or some of the social medias, hi, this is such. I'm in Florida. And then you can't figure out why they broke into your house?
Right.
Guess what? That's why. Too much information. You know, way, way too much information we're putting on social media. Social media should really be used as just like writing a letter, basically. I mean, you write a letter, you talk about things, but you don't get into who you had sex with last night. And well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
Man, people find out about everything on social media. Like, I know a few people. I had a friend. She was in a grocery store, and she saw this guy. His son had just got killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
His friends, the gentleman's son's friend, the little boy got killed. His friends had posted on Facebook him getting killed. He didn't even know that his son was dead. But my friend walked up to him in the grocery store, like, I am so sorry to hear about your loss.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yes. And he was like, what are you talking about? He didn't know his son was dead, but everybody on social media knew his son was dead. So they put stuff on social media before the coroner or the, whoever do their job.
Wow. But you know what? Let me ask you a question. This is on the subject of Black History Month. You know, one of the things that I see on TV is they want to celebrate people of superstar status in reference to Black history. But you know, when I sit back and think about heroes and sheroes in my lifetime, we don't talk about my high school teacher who did a magnificent job of getting me on the right track of going forward in life. But we don't talk about our ministers. And we don't talk about our mothers. Wait a minute. Stop. Hold the phone. Our mothers. We don't talk about those. Those are sheroes and heroes in our lives. Not to say that Maya Angelou
Martin Luther King. Who are they? Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks.
But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
I want everybody to listen to what I'm about to say because this is serious. I was at VA hospital yesterday in the pharmacy. And if you've ever been to VA hospital, how the pharmacy is built, it warns people having conversations with one another. I'm sitting there next to a white Marine, and we're sitting there talking. And this guy comes up and said, hey, you a Marine? I said, yes, sir, I'm a Marine. So he got to talking, and check out what he was talking about. And you know this is relevant because he just talked about it earlier that day. And he says, you know, it's fascinating me how Black people, this is a white man talking, fascinating me how Black people, you know, think that Martin Luther King was all that. Did you know that his real name was Michael? So he even falsified his name? What? And he was a philanderer, and, you know, the Black people are putting him out front to, you know, say he was this, that, and the other. That shows you how ignorant they – I'm serious, he said this. I'm sitting there listening to this guy say this. That shows you how ignorant that Black people are, and you know, they need to learn some values. I was so stunned I couldn't say anything. Okay. In fact, I really had to put myself in check because I really wanted to rip the boy's head off. He's an older gentleman. But first of all, what difference does it make if Martin Luther King's name was Michael?
And what about all the white lies they tell in their history?
But the thing
if they're ever lying about their history, like George Washington was an honorable person, he was a slave owner and a rapist.
Well, but see, what, and you're right, but what really concerned me in this whole conversation is my name is Stephen. But I've always been called Stevie, okay? My brother, let's take him for instance. For years, I mean, he'd been called Little Billy or Billy. But his real name is William. William R. Barnett Jr. What was that about? And as far as whether he was a philanderer or not, you know, my attitude to that is this. I can't say whether he was or wasn't. I wasn't there.
Right, okay, exactly.
But number two, what difference does that make or what does that have to do with the accomplishments of the man?
Exactly. People are just cherry picking away to try to tear somebody down.
Now, you know, one of the things I want to say is, okay, I got you. You're right. But let's talk about Donald Trump. See, because the minute that you say something like that, the first thing they're going to do is wave the American flag in your face. This is ridiculous. We have to start doing better protecting our brand, if you will, our people. Because we've done a very, very poor job of it. That's why I keep saying Black History Month, because we talk about Black history. We talk about our story, but we allow somebody else to tell our story for us.
Exactly.
So, you know, we've got to change that culture. We really
that's why we got Yizer, so we can tell our own stories.
That's a fact. Oh, while we're at it, let's pay some bills and talk about Yizer. Number one, we have our TV lineup, our new episode, Sunday, Culture Kings, on the SIB. On Wednesday, we have Pep and Snap, and that's on the One God TV channel. And on Saturday, we have Yizer Radio Raw on the Yizer Radio Raw channel. You need to check out those shows because they're very informative. And also, Culture Talk Radio on Tuesday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we have my girl hosted, Kay Marie. You got to check out that show. It's something that... women should definitely listen to it. Well, first of all, men should listen to it anyway because it'll teach you how women think. Aha. Anyway, talk to Tyler. That's on Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m., and it's hosted by Tana B. And don't forget that our whole network, as well as these shows, are sponsored by Digital Guard. Digital Guard is a very sophisticated security company, both for your business and personal use. Contact them at www.preventbusinesscrime.com for business, or go to www.preventhomecrime.com for your home. Digital Guard, something for you and me, something that's going to protect your family as well as your business. Once again, you're on the show Controversy, hosted by Stephen B. That's me doing in the key of E, stands for excellence for you and me. Black, bold, and very beautiful. Now, don't forget the call-in number. It's 515-605-9800. While we're on this whole episode of Black History Month, let's talk about relationships briefly in our community. You know, one of the things that has changed over the years and evolved again is the relationship between our men and women, our kings and queens in our own community. The disrespect that we have for one another, and not just men disrespecting women and women disrespecting men, but our disrespect for one another in our community warrants people to criticize how we function and how we act in society. Like that, a lot of the music on air, both for male and female, is direct. Now, you know, I don't get it. You know, when you start saying my woman is a bitch.
It's not that I